sanitary
decent
house. People find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the million. They find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity.
There comes the
greatest tragedy of this other America
when we
hear the
curtain call, when the world
little children
must come
of this
together
America,
as one.
Of course, to
there are people
out from inferiority
the greatest gift of all. We can go
out as an arena,
pretending they're fighting. But the one somewhere will soon make a change. God's great big family.
I'm an Indian.
And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the children. Is to deal with the
send them your heart
to America.
So they know that someone cares. And their lives will be
indivisible
and free.
Justice.
As God has shown us.
One of these
days, turning storms red.
For civil rights,
we all
struggle to make peace to America one America.
But if you just believe, somewhere we can find.
Just you and me. Come on, let me hear you. We are the world.
open eyes that we
toward our community. I say. So it's important for the eyes to be open. Number one, stop the killing, save the baby. Ain't nobody gonna stop the killing but you to speak out. As a politician, got the ban to assault weapons. And we have to come together. What happened in Sandy Hook? What happened down in Texas? What happened in Michigan? And what's happening now in Virginia? And what happened up in Washington? Young people killing young people. And the only way to stop it is to come together. And the pastors and the imams and the Jewish rabbis have to come together to deal with the truth. You know, it's hard for the religious community to deal with the truth, okay? You know, and the big corporations, how many blacks they got on their board, but they can say, well, we don't want to deal with you because you're a Semite. We want to deal with you because you hate Jews and all that negative stuff. And most of these, because Nike, all these different companies, General Motors, Ford, how many blacks they got on the executive board? And they all over the world. So that lets you know that we as black people is behind and we need to get forward. What that means? That means that you need to take your money. I want to say this, Jerry. Mary, I want to say this. Now, y'all looking funny at me. I'm calling for a boycott for Christmas. Don't do no shopping. The money to January. Now, if the black over $6 trillion, more than that, if black all over the country hold their money, we won't have no black Christmas. It's not a black Friday. If you hold your dollar, I'm not buying nothing for Christmas, not because I can't. I'm going to join tonight, and I want you to join in with me. Let's boycott Christmas for economic development. Let's boycott and tell your friends, and we're going to continue to call a boycott for Christmas. We had Halloween. Now we got Thanksgiving and then Christmas. They're pushing Christmas. Boycott Christmas. And what I mean, keep your black dollars in your black pocket. Let me say that again. Keep your black dollars in your black pocket. I know it's hard for you. You're so used to spending. The malls be packed. They can shoot the day. They can pack the mall tomorrow. It's that kind of mentality that's going on. Let me say it again. Boycott Christmas. Whatever you need to buy, you're going to buy. Don't do no shopping. Let me say it again. I'm calling on a boycott for Christmas. For what, Bishop? Until the government can give reparations. What is reparations? The money that you owe our ancestors. Don't say they don't owe it. If we had the money that, see, they brought our ancestors from Africa. They did not give them no money. They did not give them reparations. We built New York, Chicago. We built Austin. Because the richest country was the South. That means they fought. The South had cotton. They had tobacco. They had corn. So the South had made everything. So they slaves were big business. They were bringing slaves and putting them to work. Then hard to feed them. When they got tired of them, they started hanging and killing. Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, Texas. The story go on and on. You need to know your history. You need to know that you was the man that God sent and the woman. You need to know your history, not what white faith say your history is, okay? Let me say it again. Black faith said you were nothing, but I want to go back. When I said black faith, I'm not talking about black folks. I'm talking about folks that white that wear black faith. You see Amos and Andy, they play Amos and Andy. I've never seen blacks play white folks, but I've seen white folks dress up and put smut on their face and play black folks. Black plays. Let me get this together. Black plays mean white folks. Black plays tell you you're not black. Okay. But they say they black. So they think black face. But really they're not black. So we dealing with that. It ain't no racial situation. It's the truth. You know, I looked up Kyrie Irving and what they said he did. I listened to the tape. Now I want you to go on the internet and get the tape and listen to what Kyrie Irving said. So Kyrie Irving told the truth. Listen to what Kyrie said. He's telling the truth. And if they're going to take his conscience, take what he did, what he's telling the truth. White face, black face. Well, I said black face, but under that black face is white folks. They don't want to put you on the board, but anytime you talk about them, they want to take the contract. What that means, Kanye West ain't crazy, but what he's saying is true. But you got to do it in context. Now, what I'm saying, Jerry, people need to start their own business. If you want to get some shoes, go over there in Thailand where they make the shoes for $2 and come over and get Michael Jordan and all of them get them shoes. You know how much it costs to make them shoes? $10, some gym shoes. They come over here and you pay $10,000, you pay $1,500, $1,000 for a shoe, and it takes $10. Over there in Thailand, where they make the shoes at. Don't believe it? Check it out. What I'm saying, if Nike can do it, you can go over there and do it. Don't even go to Thailand, go to Africa and get a job to some brothers and sisters. Design your own gym shoes. See, if we got to think outside of the box. Because Black Faith has said, I'm with you. But they'll dump you in a minute. Y'all ain't listening to what I'm saying. Reparation. That's what I'm saying. Reparation. What I'm saying in the spirit of Dr. King, Barbara, open our eyes, we might see. I want to tell you tonight, let me say it again. I'm going to say it again. You might not hear nowhere. I'm calling for a boycott of Christmas. Why? You know what black folks are going to say. Why? Save your money. After Christmas, you're broke. You done bought a car, done bought some furniture, done bought some refrigerators. You ain't got no money. We right now, let me say this here, it ain't gonna tell you. We in a depression right now. We in a depression right now of things happening to us. We in a depression. So that's what's happening. Okay? So I just want you to get ready for a breakthrough. Write it down. I'm going to boycott whatever I need to buy. I better buy it now. I don't care what kind of deals that Walmart and all these stores got. And you know, all of them make deals. You can go. The other day, they had a computer for $100. I missed that sale because I would have got one here. So if they got one for $1 tomorrow, if they got one for $1 on Christmas, I ain't buying it. Because I'm going to boycott Christmas for economic development. I'm boycott Christmas for reparation. Now, I'm sending this out. Boycott Christmas for till we get out of reparation. Pay us what you owe us. We can have our store. We can have our business. So I'm calling for a boycott. Oh, y'all ain't liking me. Let me. And all this killing that's going on, stop the killing, save the babies. We cannot keep on looking at what people are doing.
Father, open eyes that we may see tomorrow. See, Lord, grant us thy loving peace. Let all dissension cease. Let our faith each day increase.
Reality. if I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I want to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts got Indian there, cause that's who owns it. Well, I don't want to go to Dunkin' Donuts. I think I go over to I might go and see if I find a grocery store in the neighborhood, black owned, black operated. I don't see so many of that. I know Mr. Eddie Harris over on 83rd and Cottage, he got a black store, been there 40 years, okay? But other people just come in when the Jews, let me say this here, when the Jews left, they say, hey, we done made enough money off the black folks, so we're going to let the Arabs come in. When the Arabs come in, the Indians come in, okay? Now, this is what I want to say. I'm talking about King movement. I'm talking about the movement and where we done come. In the movement, we dead. In the movement, we ain't doing nothing. The gays marching, the straight marching, everybody marching, but the black man, and we started. Now, well, I want to go get a Subway. We don't own Subway. Well, I want to go get McDonald's. We don't own no McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's. Huh? Jay's Fish, we don't own that. So what do we own in the black community besides Pimlone Home? Oh, y'all ain't liking me. And this, well, I think I go to the hotel. I'm driving. When I get to the hotel, blacks don't own no hotel. You know, I know you don't own Holiday Inn, Hilton, you don't own that. So what do blacks own in America? Okay. I hope somebody call in and tell me what blacks own. Ain't nobody call me and tell me. I don't care if Mississippi or Arkansas, what do blacks own? They don't own no liquor store, much liquor they drink. They don't own no dealership. They don't own General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. They're not even on the board. Not even on the board of General Motors, Chrysler, many Cadillacs, many Chevrolet, many Mercedes, Hondas. Many cars we buy, we don't own nothing but the note that we go to the bank. The bank will give you money to get a car. They won't give you no money to buy no land. They won't give you no money to start no business. Check it out. You know what I'm saying? Reparations. Now, let me go back over this because some of you are kind of slow. Yeah, Mary, some of them kind of slow. Yeah, Jerry, they slow. I'm going to say it again. Boycott Christmas. Don't spend no money from December the 1st to the end of December. Because that same sale will be there in January and February. Hello? Now, let me say it again. Boycott Christmas. Call your friend. Call your pastor. That we boycott Christmas. Why? I'm going to save my black dollars. I'm not going to buy no car. I ain't going to buy no food. I'm going to save my black dollars. Boycott them for reparation. Okay? Reparation. We need reparation. So I'm telling you, black man, black woman, save your dollars. Now, I could be wrong. Over $6 trillion, could be more than that now, that black folks got the money. Okay? Now, what I'm saying to you, Biden sent all that money over to Ukraine. When people in Chicago, gas is going up, food is going up, what kind of money that they're giving? And it ain't just black folks, white folks too. What kind of money is going on? What's happening? Somebody got to tell me what's really going on. I want reparations. That's what I want. I want the reparations that they owe us. Like Lewis Scott used to say, give me what you owe me. You used to say that all day. Give me what you owe me. And what I'm saying to you tonight, we want reparation. We want it here and now. See, we want that reparation and give that reparation to us right now. And once we get that reparation, we can do some things with it. You know, what I'm saying to you tonight, you say, well, I ain't got but a little money. Take that little money, invest it in a restaurant, invested in a car wash, invested in something, and once you invested in something, you can get some out of it.
But if you don't never invest it and you spend it at the mall, like most of you do, you save everything to go to the mall. So you're trying to go to the mall. What I'm saying, you save your stuff, and once you save it, you have to go to the mall. Okay? You can save it, you know, then that's what you do. You save it. And once you save it, then you can boycott. All I'm saying, we don't stop boycotting. We don't boycott no more. We don't boycott no more. We stop boycotting, stop doing everything else. So what I'm saying, boycott a little bit, hold your money, and see what happens. If they don't do what they need to do with that money, that ain't going to happen. Okay? So what I'm saying with you, you started saying, well, this is what I'm going to do. In the spirit of our ancestors, I'm going to try. Now, I'm talking about don't buy a cracker. Don't buy nothing in these stores. Say, well, I got $1,000. I'm going to buy this in. It was $1,000. Here's the TV was $1,000. Now they're selling it for $2. Save your money, black man. Black woman, save your money. Invest in you. Not Walmart. Not CVS. Not Walgreens. Not Target. Not General Motors. For invest in you. Oh, I know somebody said, victim gone crazy. Well, that's what I want you to do. Yes, going into this year, I just wish you could invest in yourself. And as you invest in yourself, and Dr. King said it, and I'm going to play it in a minute, but Dr. King said that we got to change the economy, and the way we're going to change it, black phase ain't going to change it. Black phase, let me help y'all out. This time I knew I'm dealing with. Black phase. He said, well, what do you mean black phase? People got black phase but they ain't black. Break it down and tell you what that is. When you tell a person, you got black phase. What you mean? You patronize black folks, but you ain't black. You act like you love black folks, but you don't. So that's black phase. Okay? You got some people is black. They got black phase, but they ain't black. Okay? So when you working with black phase folks, they always going to lie, and they're going to run to the suburbs. They're going to run and try to get every deal. So we dealing with some blacks. Malcolm said they black phase. In 2022, we talking about black phase folks. I'm going to do a seminar on black phase, and we do a seminar on Native American, black Native American. And it's a difference, and you've been here, and you ain't got your reparation. Okay, because you got white face saying you don't need it, and you got black face saying, well, you don't need it. So you got white face saying, well, you don't need a reparation. Okay, I don't need to go to Washington to prone because Washington ain't did nothing to me. I need to prone right now for all this going on, and we need the government. We need Democrats and Republicans say we're going to ban assault weapons, ain't going to make them no more. When we can come together and do that, and some of you might need to boycott, so I'm not going to buy nothing because my son got killed. My daughter got killed. I'm boycotting. I'm not going to buy nothing, okay? And then you said, I'm boycotting because of reparations. I want my money that they promised. The 40 acres on the mule, I don't want the 40 acres on the mule. Give me the 40 acres and give me a John Deere tractor. Which, if I get the country tractor, I want black on that board. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I know y'all said, this is gone crazy. No, this is reality. This is just a real thing.
I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
I want you to get ready for a breakthrough.
We must also realize that the problems...
Now, Dr. King is going to tell you what the problem is right now. And the problem that Dr. King talking about right now is the problem. Check yourself. Check your bank account. Now, when they told me, the bank told Connie West, come and get your money, that let you know you got to invest in black folks and invest into yourself. Now, I'm calling for a boycott. Some of you ain't got no money. But what little pennies you got, save them and see what you got the first of the year.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
And you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land.
John Boyd, and John Boyd brought up a great question that I wanted to ask you all and kind of analyze. And the question is Kyrie Irving a slave? Is he a slave, or is he just some millionaire who, you know, shouldn't expect to have freedom of speech on his job? I'm going to look at some of this in extreme detail. I'm going to talk about the fact that I think the Brooklyn Nets have been quietly firing Kyrie. And we're also going to look at the definition of what civil liberties actually represent. So get comfortable, buckle up a seatbelt. We're going to get started on DrBoysTV.com right now.
Here we are, claim the isms, catechism, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones too late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Sit the coach, Dr. Three. What did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the thing, buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DPCC, we're talking about negligence. Ignorance is just what we can turn into intelligence. We know what you hate, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyd.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoysTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I'm here in Washington, D.C. I just attended Tariq Nasheed's Rally for Reparations. The hashtag is Rally, the number 4, Reparations. You got to look it up. I think that it's actually one of the most highly trending hashtags in the world now. If you go to Twitter, I'm looking on Twitter right now, and earlier today when they showed the trending hashtag, I saw Rally for Reparations on the side. I don't see it right now, but I can definitely tell you that everybody's talking about it, everybody's tweeting about it, and shout out to Tariq Nasheed and all the other great people there. Professor James Small was there, Marcel Dixon, who's running for office in South Carolina, was there, Jade Arendelle did a great job lying his crown, just so many awesome people, Kaba Cabernet, I mean, just so many amazing people were there. And I just really was excited to be a part of this, and I felt like it was just an opportunity of a lifetime, because we have a chance to make a difference that's going to last our people for the next several hundred years. In fact, give me a yes in the chat if we are in agreement that black people deserve reparations. Give me a yes in the chat. Let's try to see if we can get an alignment. Give me a yes. How many of y'all are convinced that we are owed reparations in the trillions for all the slavery that we've gone through, all the oppression we've gone through, all the suffering we've gone through? How many believe that we deserve reparations for all the wealth that was stolen? How many of you have been convinced that reparations are necessary? I want you to give me a yes in chat. And if you're not sure, or if you want to get more support for your argument, Dr. Claude Anderson wrote a book called Black Labor, White Wealth. I'm going to visit Dr. Anderson tomorrow. I love this man immensely. And Dr. Anderson's book, Black Labor, White Wealth, breaks down the history of how they stole your money, what they did with it, why you should be outraged about it, and why that has literally stunted the growth of the black community. Now, with that said, also, please shout out your city. Let me know what city you're from. I see Micah Jones, Mike Jones. I see Eunice Williams, Sandra Pitts. How are you? My name is Corey. Good to see you. And some of y'all I saw here today. You know, and forgive me if you meet me in person. I don't remember your name from online. There's a lot of names in here, but I love every one of you, and I appreciate you 100%. I'll never take you for granted. So let's hop into this. Let's talk about Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie has been a topic of conversation for a while, and I've addressed it a couple of times. And the reason I keep addressing it is because I think there's a lot to unpack here in terms of understanding what other people are doing to you. You know, so to Tone from Atlanta, what I want to say to you is that basically what you're seeing here is something that's really interesting. There's a guy named John Boyd, who I just love and respect. He's the father of Victory Boyd. Victory Boyd's the best singer ever. I mean, she sang for Jay-Z, and he signed her on the spot. That's how talented his daughter is and his family is in Infinity Song. And I think, I'm hoping John will come into the chat, into the podcast. I sent him the link. I'd love for him to share his ideas. But he and I were sitting on the phone talking today. And we were talking about a lot of stuff, a lot of issues with black folks. What it means to be economically independent, what it might mean to challenge hip-hop music in terms of the way certain people have controlled hip-hop and used it as a weapon of mass destruction for the black community. I mean, think about this. The same people that are mad at Kyrie Irving for alleged hate speech are the same ones who are literally promoting the biggest hate speech promoters on earth. They have spent billions of dollars putting out music that has been destructive to black people, that is hateful toward black people, that calls black people the N-word in every other sentence. And it's fascinating to me that they don't even listen when you bring this up. They act like they don't even hear you. This is the craziest thing in the world. And so ultimately, you're in this interesting power struggle right now with people that that just see the world a little bit differently from you. So one thing that John Boyd was bringing up that I really thought was interesting was he talked about Kyrie Irving, and he brought up this idea that a couple of things. We talked about slavery, and we were sort of saying, like, okay, is Kyrie a slave? Like, what does that mean? And so what I thought about was, you know, slavery and what slavery is. Now, if you look up slavery, it says a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. That's the definition that you look up when you look up slavery. So slavery is a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. So based on that definition, do you think that Kyrie is being forced to obey other people? Yes or no? Give me a yes or no if you feel like Kyrie.
Violence is always haunted the family.
You guys are having a wonderful day. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I am definitely the least important person on this panel today. A lot of y'all came to the All Black National Convention, and you saw just, you know, black excellence on full display. You saw black intelligence everywhere. You saw black love, black families, these powerful black people. And three of those powerful black people are three of the individuals that I get the honor and privilege of introducing to you today. And we're just going to kind of have a blackness panel. You know, you guys know that we've always talked about black people having our own conversations about our issues and our way. And these are just three great people that I know. If you don't already know them and love them, you will know them and love them afterwards. The first person is Dr. Oya Ma'at. Dr. Ma'at is a professor of engineering at Morgan State University. That's pretty dang impressive. Not just an engineer, but a professor of engineering. Not just a professor, but a professor of engineering. People got to know the difference. Being a professor or being an engineer, both of those things are hard. It's really hard to be a professor or engineer. So welcome, Dr. Ma'at. I'm very happy to see you.
Oh, pleasure.
All right.
Pleasure to see you, Doc.
The pleasure is all mine. The next person I would like to introduce you to is Zakiya Sankara Jabbar. Zakiya Sankara Jabbar. Zakiya Sankara Jabbar. My homegirl. She's the host of a great show on YouTube that everybody should follow. It's called Real Talk with BSJ. She's extremely conscious, very intelligent. There's a lot of great things to say. How you doing today, Zakiya?
I am doing well. Glad to be here with all of you.
Yes, it is an honor to have you. The next one, last but certainly not least, is my brother, Mr. Julian Walker. He is the CEO and co-founder of Push Black, one of the baddest, blackest, most powerful platforms on the entire internet universe. How you doing today, brother?
Excellent. Appreciate you having me, Doc.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here, man. I'm glad you're here. All right, so everybody, give the guests a big black welcome. Put your B1s in the chat. Let us know what city you're from. And
has never had a political party that's ever done anything specifically and tangibly, strictly for black people. Never been done. I don't care what, whether it was a politician from the highest level in the government to the lowest. Black, white, yellow, mellow, red, polka dot, they've never done anything. And that violates the primary position and purpose of politics. Politics is a process that decides who's going to get what benefits out of life. Now, so what has the Democratic Party ever promised you? Nada. Zero. Zilch. And why are you voting for them? I mean, that shows your stupidity. And whoever that shows that he's even dumber than the ones that asked him to do some stuff like that. You come to me, and as a matter of fact, all my life I run campaigns. I don't know who would be putting out that dumbass stuff on black folks. Who is that dumb? I run campaigns. I would never ask a black person just to vote. You must vote for what? If the politics is deciding what benefits you're going to get, that's the first question you should be asking. If my vote is not voting, vote is immaterial. Because you see, the reality underneath that old suggestion, blacks don't have any voting power. You have no voting power. What you have is show and tell power. That means you don't, all you do is get out there and dance and sing and have to tell people, y'all vote for this guy because he loves social integration. He understands our civil rights and he looks better and plays a horn, an instrument, or drums in a band. So that's who you should vote for. You tell him those days are over. Over. Any black person goes out, I tell them, you don't vote. You only represent about 9% of the votes. If you vote strictly on lines that they're looking for, if they made more than 9 votes, they go to the black vote. But if you vote for your power potential, you could almost take over the entire national political system. I've told them that over and over again. If you voted as a Democrat, your power is somewhere around 38%. If you vote as a whole, a body, 38%. And if you take that 38% and you go there and say, well, I'll go get me I get another 10% from the Hispanics. And these other groups just coming to town. Or I can go get some of these, I can get some of these weirdos that were crawling up the side of the walls in Congress back on January 6th. I get 10% of that group. And now you got 51% of the vote. You can get elected anytime you want them. You got some darn brains in your head. Because you said, in this society, that's why they have immigration policies, is to keep watering you down. Back during the post-slavery ended, black people were over 51% in all 5 of those southern states. You were the 51% of the population. Now you're down to 12 and 13%. And have never gotten anything because you don't know how to vote and play the game. Why do you let the people invite you to play a game and you don't know the rules? Why are you playing it? Don't ever play anything that you can't win in. And don't gamble if you can't afford to lose. When I tell you don't go vote or because you're some girlfriend you got, that makes you triply stupid. Man, some of these people so damn dumb they can draw. Oh, no, I ain't gonna say it. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, you know, Doctor, it almost felt like the video when I saw it. It was at some point I'm gonna send it over to you so you can take a look at it. But it almost looked like it was women and gay people convincing, trying to use whatever leverage they could to get black men to just sign up and vote for the Democratic Party. And I don't have nothing against nobody in terms of who they are and what they choose to be. But what I do kind of find interesting is that when you see most appeals to get black folks to vote, it's based on emotional or it's based on something that involves like a craving. Like we'll give you some weed if you come vote. We'll give you some sex if you come vote. We'll give you free pizza or chocolate chip cookies. We'll give you something that is something almost like you're an animal. You know, like the same way you want to get a dog to vote. What do? You don't try to talk the rational, be rational with the dog. You don't get logical with the dog. You just offer the dog some food, and the dog will do whatever you tell him to do if you give him some food. And it almost seems to me that that is the pattern with the party, because in that when they, in that whole video, I didn't see anything about, you know, saying, okay, we need to vote in a certain way because of specific things that our community needs. And a lot of these communities that they're appealing to are communities that have been neglected for a very long time. So I'm still trying to figure out what's they still haven't been able to provide any logical reason why black people should even show up and vote for either party.
Well, see, that's what I told black folks, I guess, 10, 20, 30 years ago. See, and that's I blame our people for that. We are the only people that will vote for anything to get nothing. Nobody else is that damn dumb. And it's a process that originated around 15th and 16th century over in France, word political, which means go vote. But you're supposed to be voting for something to get something in return based on the simple premise of quid pro quo. What am I getting? Why am I voting? What am I supposed to get out of it? We are the only people that are suffering from a mentality that is a, that is 500 years old, and it was not worth a quarter back during slavery. When they go out and buy a black person with a chicken, every election for the few free blacks you had in the country that could vote, because in those days, you could vote if you owned property. There were a few blacks that owned property, and they could vote. And so they give him a chicken, he'll go out and vote. He didn't care who the person was, he just vote for the damn chicken. And so I don't know, I have heard one leader, and again, here again, that's my fault. I don't know one black leader in America that I would call a leader. Not one. We don't have one in America. And that's why I said probably maybe by this coming December, I think I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to get as far away from politics as I can. Because I'm so embarrassed all the time. I'm not going to play the game anymore. I don't want to participate. Because somebody tell me right now, I have the right to vote. And I see, I got the right to go into that casino too. But I know for a fact that the dice are loaded, the games are rigged, and the cards are marked. Why in the hell I want to go in there and I can't win? You got the whole gang rigged. Because right now, every time every immigrant comes in here, loads the dice against black folks. Because it's called the first law passed. First law passed after country started the Constitution. First law says, is this white nation? And the only people that are welcome are people are these can be immediately classified as whites or who can pass as whites. That's what the First Amendment was passed by the United States Congress in 1790. Let me put it in better terms. I used this before. Taking black people in this country that is race-based to its heart, and you take them and say, okay, what's your population now? Well, I know you're black folk in during the Civil War. Y'all were 50-51% in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, all those states. You could have won. You were the dominant population, the majority population. You can win when you want to win. But now you don't. And that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because if I say that means you can't. If I put one black person at 12% into a room with 60 and 70 and 100 Ku Klux Klansmen, or these boys call themselves Proud Boys, who are now talking about we're going to take back our country. Never was their country. They never had a country. All of them came from Europe. They were freeloaders. They came to America to get free land and then free black labor. Somehow this is their country. They never produced a damn thing. Blacks were the economic machinery and engine that drove developments in this country. They were the ones that were doing all the work, building the bills and cleaning the land, cutting down the trees, pulling the logs, moving the rocks, killing the slaves, killing the bears. They were the labor class. And guess what? Whites took their labor. They say, well, you come over here, because I'm George Washington and George Mason and George and Thomas Jefferson. We borrowed money in Europe to come to America to be the first Americans. That's why we're here. We're here to get money, resources. We borrowed money for the banks in Europe. And so, but we want all you others to come and the next generation, because you know y'all don't have to be having the money. Y'all can be poor. We'll put up a sign saying, "Send us your poor, your humble, your masses, and just love to be free, want to be free, and we'll give them free land and free black labor, and let them have a chance to be the second order underneath the owners in this country, which be all white owners, and we'll give them a chance to have a business and they be able to be over black folks." That's why on every plantation it was mandated by the policies that they always had to be in the South. They had to outnumber blacks 5-1, and the North. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. So they mandated this. So they.
Oh yeah.
So we were a planned minority in the country.
You were a planned minority. You stayed a planned minority. And as go look at the 2014 census and from the Department of Commerce. It'll tell you right now. Now, if you look at my book, Black Labor, the Black History book, questions that I never asked, you now listed as a permanent minority, underclass. You know what an underclass is in a democracy? That means that you're now predestined to be either beggars or criminals for the rest of your existence in this country. I'm going to repeat that in case I'm speaking too far in the wrong direction. You are black, you're black, you're predestined in America to be a permanent underclass. A permanent underclass means that you can't get anywhere near the things that you were taken from you. This is the whole point of slavery. I asked black folks, you know what slavery was for?